You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. Second hour of American Journal is on. Talking about what Israel's been up to. Obviously, there's the gang rape controversy in the prisons. And the controversy, strangely enough, in Israel is not about whether or not this took place, but whether or not it's okay and good and fine and legal. Whether this is an appropriate method by which to wage war. And they all seem to agree that yes, it is. This, of course, comes after months of relentless bombing in the prison state of Gaza. They, of course, say that they bombed a school, killed hundreds of people a few days ago, claimed there was Hamas there. An investigation subsequently found that there was no evidence whatsoever of military activity there. Nevertheless, Germany and other Israeli allies are justifying this, saying they have a right to self-defense. Meanwhile, Haaretz, Israeli newspaper, has just come out with an investigation showing that Israeli army uses Palestinian civilians to inspect potentially booby-trapped tunnels in Gaza, saying, quote, our lives are more important than their lives. Gazans not suspected of terrorism are detained and sent as human shields to search tunnels and houses before IDF soldiers enter, with the full knowledge of senior Israeli officers, several sources say. IDF claims this practice is forbidden. At first, it's not hard to recognize them. They're usually wearing Israeli army uniforms, many of them in their 820s, and they're always with Israeli soldiers of various ranks. But if you look more closely, you'll realize that most of them are wearing sneakers, not army boots, and their hands are cuffed behind their backs, and their faces are full of fear. The soldiers call each of them a sawish, an obscure Arabic word of Turkish origin, meaning sergeant. Random Palestinians have been used by Israeli army units in the Gaza Strip for one purpose, to serve as human shields for soldiers during operations. Quote, our lives are more important than their lives, soldiers were told. The thinking is that it's better for the Israeli soldiers to remain alive and for the Shawishim to be the ones blown up by an explosive device. This description is one of many obtained by Haaretz, some from combat soldiers, other from commanders. The picture that emerges in recent months, Israeli soldiers have used human shields in this way all over Gaza. Even the chief of staff's office knows. Soldiers choose Gazans for their missions to bring them to the brigades and battalions operating in the Strip. There's a pride in it, said a source who took part in some of the locating work, and the senior rank knows about it. So they're dressing up Palestinian prisoners in IDF uniforms, handcuffing their hands behind their back, and forcing them to walk through tunnels that might be booby-trapped so that they set them off and get killed. So there's that. At this point, nearly 2% of Gaza's population has been killed by the Israeli war machine. Nearly 2% of Gaza's entire population has been killed by Israel during its genocidal war on the Strip. The Bureau said in a statement that the Israelis' war on Gaza has killed more than 39,000 Palestinians. That constitutes 1.8% of the total population of the country. According to the data, approximately 74% of those killed by Israel in Gaza are youths. The data goes on to show that 34 people have died as a result of famine that has struck the entire besieged enclave, adding that 3,500 children are at risk of death from malnutrition and shortages of food. Around 70% of the wounded in Gaza are women and children, PCBS revealed. It adds that 10,000 people are missing and that around 2 million people have been displaced. Washington was behind the delivery of nearly 30,000 bombs to Israel, which have been used without restriction on its war on the Strip. Last week, the U.S. greenlighted a $3.5 billion weapons package to Israel. And just today, U.S. approves another $20 billion in weapons to Israel amid threat of wider Middle East war. So this, I guess, is a reward for blowing up the school full of children. $20 billion. The U.S. has approved $20 billion in arms sales to Israel, including scores of fighter jets and advanced air-to-air missiles, the State Department announced Tuesday. More than 50 F-15 fighters and a whole hell of a lot more. So this isn't going to end anytime soon. And in fact, the Israeli government seems to be deliberately trying to provoke Muslims into a bigger attack.
Nitric Boost. Turmeric 95. High quality. CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultimate Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Body's, but we have Turmeric 95 that is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't even gotten to the real provocation by Israel yet. I suppose at some point, I don't know, maybe just October 7th will be we'll do the anniversary rewind. See what's happened over the last, at this point, 10 months. Because it's one of those things that it's really hard to get your head around. The fact that it was so, I mean, just right off the bat, it was so brutal and horrific, the response from Israel, and it's almost laughable now that they, like, denied that they bombed a hospital early on, and now, like, every hospital in Gaza has been destroyed. And not just destroyed, but, like, they've systematically gone through and, like, handcuffed everybody in the hospital and took them out to the courtyard and shot them in the back of the head or ran them over with bulldozers. Like, it's really insane that they even, you know, denied bombing a hospital at one point. But, of course, the attack was justified by the media with outrageous claims of what Hamas did on October 7th, basically all of which have been proven not to be true. You have the Hannibal Directive showing that Israel itself was responsible for a huge number of the deaths on October 7th, firing into their own kibbutzes in order to kill the hostages and the hostage takers. You had stories about systematic rape gangs being deployed and rape being used as a weapon of war, predicated on a total absence of evidence and totally debunked at this point by the very media outlets that first promoted that story. You had the story of babies being thrown into ovens. Didn't actually happen. You have, like, all of these horror stories from October 7th, none of which actually occurred, and none of which ever had any evidence to them. But in response to that, far, far more outrageous and actually having happened, things have occurred. Killing an innumerable number of children and women. The images that, of course, we've seen over the last 10 months burned into our psyches. The number of dismembered children on a daily basis. You didn't actually have any documented evidence whatsoever of rape gangs on October 7th, but of course, now the Israeli society has basically agreed that rape is valid. They're using prisoners of war as human shields, specifically non-combatants that they're able to capture. They bombed refugee camps and hospitals and schools, and it just keeps going on and on. And we keep paying them billions upon billions of dollars for it. It's hard to read an article without learning about some new injection. Sometimes, too. I mean, I'm reading this article about U.S. greenlighting a $3.5 billion weapons package to Israel last week. And this week, we've approved another $20 billion. Isn't that something? And, of course, all of this started in the October 7th attack itself was called the Al-Aqsa Flood. It was predicated on the belief from Palestine. It had two purposes. One was to get hostages from Israel that could be used to negotiate an exchange of prisoners with thousands of Palestinians detained in IDF camps, where they were tortured and imprisoned without trial or ability to defend themselves. And it was to preempt what was thought to be an Israeli attack on the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the Dome of the Rock, which is where the Third Temple will have to be built when the time has come to usher in the Antichrist. And so it's the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and there were rumblings that Israel was about to make a major move to take that area over. It's like the second or third most holy site in Islam. And so basically there are all these like big marches and all these signals sort of flying that something was about to happen to where Israel was going to take over the Dome of the Rock, and they did this to sort of preempt that. That's why it's called the Al-Aqsa Flood. And now Ben-Gvir, the national security minister of Israel, is, of course, doing it again, provoking, again, the Muslims really around the world by leading a massive march storming the Al-Aqsa Mosque, accompanied by a protective force of Israeli police. Israeli ministers of Negev and Galilee Affairs Yitzhak Wasserlof and a large group of settlers also accompanied Ben-Gvir. Ben-Gvir and Wasserlof stormed Al-Aqsa Mosque from the Mahribi Gate and toured the eastern courtyard, accompanied by a large number of occupation police officers, local sources told Palestinian news agency WAFA, adding that police restricted the entry of worshippers as the two Israeli ministers made their way into the holy site. This was Ben-Gvir's sixth incursion into the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound since Benjamin Netanyahu's government came to power in 2022. His numerous incursions into the holy site have been highly provocative and have contributed to continuously escalating tensions in the occupied West Bank and Jerusalem over the past 2 years. We are on Tisha B'Av, the Temple Mount, coming to mark the destruction of the temple. But it needs to be said with sincerity, there is very significant progress here in the governance, in the sovereignty. And as I've said, our policy is to enable prayer, Ben-Gvir said from inside the compound, which he stormed to commemorate the holiday of Tisha B'Av. And that what you're seeing here is many of them performing these rituals as an act of deliberate provocation. Which is what I mean. You know, it's like we got Iran and Hezbollah apparently still gearing up for war. You've got all of these just massacres and war crimes and crimes against humanity. And while America and Israel are saying, oh, we're just trying to calm things down, we just don't want things to escalate any further, while Israel is sending them $20 billion worth of weapons, and they are marching on Al-Aqsa Mosque in order to provoke outrage. So they're insane. I mean, they're just insane. There's not really much more to say about it. Like, they're just completely insane. And they run our country. That's the really scary part. $20 billion. You have any idea? You have any concept of how much money that is? Like, when you hear that we sent them $3.4 billion last week, that number alone, just mind-boggling. You could buy entire countries with $3.5 billion. And that's just a fraction of what we sent them this week. It's just incredible. It really is. It really is. Again, you can almost understand how something like this could happen like 100 years ago when wasn't a lot of media and you know, you just find out these stories later. Like, wow, did you hear what they did during war? That was crazy. The fact that this has just happened continuously in front of everybody on live TV. And it was so horrifying in the first like month, and it just like didn't end. And now every week it's like worst day yet, deadliest day yet, new school massacre. It just goes on and on and on and on. And so obviously the plan here, as I see it, is to continually and deliberately provoke their neighbors of Hezbollah and Iran and Syria. Obviously, from the beginning, we've been saying, and it's been fairly well acknowledged by the Israeli government, that their goal in Gaza was to cleanse it of Palestinians and claim it as a territorial expansion. They had, you know, blueprints drawn up for the ski resort that they're going to build there. They've been incapable of doing significant damage to Hamas itself since they're all in tunnels and Israel's only tactic is air raids, which do not kill people in tunnels. And at this point, they are still, you know, having worked their way north to south, they're still under attack in the north where they failed to clear Hamas out. And the hope, of course, is that the Gaza conflict brings in the other players, brings in Iran, brings in Hezbollah, puts Israel at an existential position because they, I mean, they can't even handle Hamas in Gaza, right? I mean, how do you think they're going to fare against Hezbollah? How do you think they're going to fare against Iran? How do you think they're going to fare against Syria? It's not looking good, and they know that. But they know that America won't get involved unless they think they have to. And so they're deliberately trying to provoke a massive response from Iran or Hezbollah in order to justify getting America into the conflict. It's very much a game of, you know, who's going to start the fight, where the blame is going to be able to be placed. Which, of course, like, this would have been over in November if Israel didn't just continue its genocide campaign, but they are continuing it, and it goes on and on. And of course, it all depends on America being slavishly devoted and unquestioningly loyal to Israel and providing them everything they need, including up to and including the lives of our children being sent over there to die for their religious extremism, trying to build the third temple and usher in their Messiah. And so they are spending a lot of money to rig American elections, pouring millions and millions of dollars into tiny, seemingly insignificant congressional races, and basically buying the American electorate off in order to guarantee that whoever we elect will first and foremost serve their interests and not ours. This has been successful against Jamal Bowman and Cori Bush. And it's not like this is, like, I'm not even saying a conspiracy theory. I'm just relating to you exactly what everybody is saying. Like, everybody realizes this. This whole story is from USA Today, right? This isn't from the Young Turks. This is from some extremist, progressive, leftist outlet. I mean, it's USA Today, so, you know, they're still leftists, but they point out how these groups target Representative Jamal Bowman and Cori Bush for their public positions against Israel's government and actions in Gaza after spending at least $14.5 million and almost $9 million in their respective races. Both lost to more moderate challengers, and progressives have criticized the heavy role outside spending played in both Bowman and Bush's losses. With all the concern that we're supposed to feel about foreign election influence when it comes from the boogeyman, the non-existent threat of Russia, it is pretty astounding that a foreign country can openly spend tens of millions of dollars on congressional districts in order to oust people that aren't amenable to their geopolitical reality. Heading into Tuesday's race, the Minnesota Democratic lawmaker boasted a significant fundraising advantage over Samuels. Omar's campaign spent $2.6 million on ads compared to Samuels' campaign, which spent just $32,000, according to Ad Impact. Which, really, it really is a condemnation of our entire system. It's a very simple matter of the more money they get spent, the more likely they are to win. And I'm sure they ran some sort of, you know, simulation with the population of Ilhan Omar's district and just realized, like, there's no way. There's no way. They are literally all Somalian Muslims. Literally all of them. So, what, are we going to spend $9 million and achieve nothing? So they really didn't try to oust Omar that much. I mean, they spoke badly about her. I'm sure they gave some money. But I think they realized that as is a losing battle, we'll just let Omar keep her seat. Inside the Zionist for Don Samuels WhatsApp group, raising big money to oust Omar in AIPAC's absence. Samuels campaign staffer and pro-Israel super PAC donors strategized to oust another squad member. You're not going to find, there's no love lost from us with the squad members. They're all socialist idiots, but at least American citizens voted for them. Some, I assume. So that's your Israel update. Just completely insane, warmongering, genocidal psychopaths being funded to the tunes of tens of billions of dollars with your money. So congratulations for that. It's just crazy. It's so crazy. Boy, oh boy. All right, let's move on to some local topics here, some domestic issues. Tim Walz and Kamala Harris. More exhausting nonsense. Let's jump in, shall we? Walz claps back at Vance's stolen valor attack. You should never denigrate another person's service record. No shame. There's no shame with these people. Let's go to clip 11 here. This expose into Tim Walz's stolen valor should be running everywhere. This was posted by Cernovich earlier, but I think it's an official Trump campaign video. But here's just a little taste of Stolen Watts's long, long career of pretending to be a soldier. Let's watch.
Tim Walz wants to be a heartbeat away from commander-in-chief, but Tim Walz has lied about his military record for years.
He's used the rank that he never achieved in order to advance his political career.
Walz lied repeatedly about his rank.
Retired Command Sergeant Major.
Retired Command Sergeant Major.
Command Sergeant Major.
Retired Command Sergeant Major.
Walz lied about being in combat.
I can make sure that those weapons of war that I carried in war.
Walz dodged deployment by retiring when he knew his National Guard unit was going to Iraq.
Everybody knew they were going to train and go to Iraq. The warning order basically stated it, and 2 months later, after he knew it, that's when he retired.
Walz disparaged Minnesota National Guard soldiers.
Mayor said, I request the National Guard. We're going to have massively trained troops. No, you're going to have 19-year-olds who are cooks.
That same Minnesota National Guard that he disparaged, unlike Walz, served heroically in Iraq and Afghanistan. Tim Walz is not fit to be anywhere near the office of Commander-in-Chief. Tim Walz is guilty of stolen valor.
He abandoned us. You know, I mean, what the hell kind of leader does that?
Remember, we live in upside-down, retarded clown world. So now, if you say that somebody didn't actually serve in war, isn't actually a combat veteran, insinuates, and in some cases outright states, that he did serve under arms when he didn't, well, clearly, that just means that you hate the troops. Obviously, you just hate the troops. I mean, I don't, you know. Okay. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz responded Tuesday to Ohio Senator J.D. Vance's allegations of stolen valor, with the Democrat vice president nominee saying, I firmly believe you should never denigrate another person's service record. Okay, but you lied about it. We're denigrating the lie, the falsehood, the fact that you're not who you say you are. I guess this works on people because they keep doing it. I don't think they'd do it over and over if it didn't work so well, but clearly it does. Where they actually have the temerity to act like the aggrieved party if you point out their lies. Incredible. Let's go to that video. Here's Tim Walz, clip 15, responding to J.D. Vance's attacks. And what I take away from every video I see of Tim Walz, he's just a very off-putting man. Anybody else get that? As you watch this, just, I don't even know how to describe it.
Then in 2005, I felt.
Yeah, let's go to it. Let's just watch and I don't know, you tell me if you get just sort of uncomfortable vibes from this guy and his face. Let's watch.
Then in 2005, I felt the call of duty again, this time of being service to my country in the halls of Congress. My students inspired me to run for that office, and I was proud to make it to Washington. I was a member of the Veterans Affairs Committee and a champion of our men and women in uniform. I'm going to say it again as clearly as I can. I am damn proud of my service to this country. And I firmly believe you should never denigrate another person's service record. To anyone brave enough to put on that uniform for our great country, including my opponent, I just have a few simple words. Thank you for your service and sacrifice. But look.
Wow, he's so, he's so distinguished. He's so, respectable, isn't he? You know what? You might denigrate my service, but I'm not going to sink to that level. I say thank you for your service and your sacrifice. It's like, okay, but he actually served and actually sacrificed. So, like, what are you doing here? You didn't actually serve. You didn't actually sacrifice. So why are you acting like you're taking the high road? And why are you acting like somebody is denigrating your service when they're pointing out that you've lied about your service? You're so proud of your service, you wouldn't misrepresent it year over year for decades on end. Vance, meanwhile, was deployed to Iraq for 6 months in 2005 while serving as a military journalist for the U.S. Marine Corps. And he responds, "Hi, Tim, thank you for your service, but you shouldn't have lied about it. You shouldn't have said you went to war when you didn't, nor should you have said that you didn't know your unit was going to Iraq. Happy to discuss this more in a debate." Yeah, that's the, yeah. What else are you going to say? What else is there to say? And again, all right. So Kamala Harris, this is one of the most amazing things, has still not published any policy. The only policy she's even really mentioned has been Trump's policy, the no tax on tips, which she herself started tax on tips by casting the tie-breaking vote to determine whether or not tips should be taxed, with 80,000 new IRS members, tracking down waitresses' earnings. So that's absurd on the face of it. But time and time again, she keeps attacking the 2025 project, which is not Trump's, and that he is voraciously, viciously disavowed over and over again. We're in the situation where Kamala Harris has not published any policy, and instead of actually talking about what her policies are, she's attacking a set of policies that aren't Trump's. So, good to see an election that's finally about the issues, I guess. You've got one candidate that has no policies whatsoever and doesn't stand anywhere on any issue, and she's spending her time attacking a set of policies that her opponent has repeatedly disavowed and aren't his, and he didn't write and doesn't co-sign. So, that's madness. That's pure madness, any way you look at it. That's where we are.
How's it going, Harrison? Thank you for taking my call. You guys have the best crew. You guys are awesome. Just wanted to plug real quick. Just recently found out after 14 years, I got a quarter or half of my muscle torn off from my shoulder blade, right? So I've been in constant pain for years, and the turmeric, the nitric boost, the fish oil, everything. If I don't take it, dude, I'm totally feeling it, and I'm on the floor. This is one of the only things is your products that gets me going. If it's helping me, and I've been in pain for 14 years, you guys got to try some of it.
Wow. Yeah. It's true, folks. You hear people call in like this all the time. These products are life-changing if you take them as directed, especially combined with exercise and a good diet. Things like Bodies, the turmeric supplement, Turmeric 95 from InfoWars MD. Incredibly powerful, life-changing stuff at InfoWarsStore.com. Thanks for the call, Drew.
a limited edition, exclusive InfoWars proprietary 24-carat .999 pure gold collectible is now available. In this credit card size package, laminated with original InfoWars art, this is a memento to remind you of the fact that you kept InfoWars on the air at a critical time. We could do a straight up donation drive, but we may have to do one. But this is basically the same thing as donating. You just get this collectible as a thank you from us for what you're doing. So please take action. Get yours right now at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. We cannot stay on the air without your support. This is a collectible, and it is a beautiful piece of gold, a little bar that symbolizes your support of the InfoWar. I humbly ask you to take action and make the decision to keep us on air, because this is your chance to keep InfoWars on the air at a critical juncture in the fight for our republic.
So they always tell you it's the most important election of your lifetime, but of course this one actually is. That's demonstrable. And it's also, because it is so important, being censored at every level by the tech companies. We were thinking about this a couple of months ago, and we thought, why not get on the road live in front of actual people, live audiences, coast to coast, a nationwide tour where we can't be censored? That'd be good. It would also be fun. So we're doing it. We're going to be on stage with some of our friends, some of the most fascinating people we know, the most recognizable people we know, responding to what is happening in America this September in real time. It'll be just like the podcast, but it's going to be live. So we're excited to announce that our friend Larry Elder is coming to join us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our friend John Rich will be there with us in Sunrise, Florida. And we're adding more stops. We just added another stadium show in Reading, Pennsylvania. We'll be joined on stage by Alex Jones. They tell you what Alex Jones is like. Have you seen him in person? You should. Make up your own mind. It's going to be fun as hell and interesting and intense, and we hope you will join us. Go to TuckerCarlson.com right now to get your tickets. See you there.
Networks lie to you about what's happening now. InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. Talk about the UK and Ireland right now. There's a very lightning thing happening in Ireland right now. If you look at this situation on its own, by itself, it's very, very illuminating as what's happening. Like, if you just woke up from a coma and I just showed you this situation, it would be unbelievable to you. But it is, in fact, reality. Do we have all these Ireland clips censored? Because we can start, 5 and 6 need to be censored. Maybe 1 as well, but, or 1 and 12 are the same. Okay, so let's go to clip number 1 here. This is an Irish woman walking around an area of her town that I suppose is to become a immigrant plantation site when she's confronted by foreign men in ski masks who apparently are there to guard the site. Let's go to clip number 1 now.
It's from Glass 11. Get off at Cool Key and just walk a mile down the Garristown Road. See you all here for a peaceful protest. Good morning.
From where do you come here? Sorry.
I'm from Ireland.
No, from where coming here?
From the road.
This way.
From the road, yes.
This way?
Yes.
Come, please.
It's okay, I can let myself out. It's all good. All good.
So you've got people in Dublin, I assume, orchestrating this invasion of Ireland. And it is a full-fledged invasion. They have said on record and by their own account that their plan is to bring more people into Ireland than currently live there now. Population's about 4.5, 5 million people in Ireland, and they're bringing in 5 million immigrants. 100% full-scale replacement migration. That is their published goal. To uphold the pension system, of course. So you got people in the capital city orchestrating this, sending busloads and busloads and busloads of dudes from all over Africa, asylum seekers, totally ridiculous, totally illegal, totally do not qualify whatsoever for any form of asylum, buying up properties with, of course, the infinite money from either their central bank or the EU or NGOs that are paid with tax dollars. They buy up sites. They send busloads of foreign men there. The locals want to go see what's being built in their neighborhood, and they're confronted by masked thugs who don't even speak the language, demanding to know who the local is and where they're from, to intimidate them out of stopping this. Honestly, it's like chilling. Like, chills run down your spine when there's just this Irish lady like, oh, here's where they're setting up the immigrant site here. They're going to bring them all here. And there's just a giant, you know, like, buff dude in a ski mask just going, where are you from? Where from you? Where do you come from? Out. Get out. It's just an invasion. It's just a take. It's just a straight up takeover at this point. And the people in Ireland, as she just mentioned, she's like, we'll be here for a peaceful protest. They are trying to peacefully prevent this from happening. And they're being attacked by either foreigners, or this foreign militia that's been brought in by their elite. And that's what's happening. The elite are importing a foreign military force to use against their own people. And in Ireland, in this town of Tipperary, the local population of this town is 200 people. They're bringing in 280 asylum seekers. The local people don't want the asylum seekers there, do not want to be ground zero for their own replacement by African men. Have been protesting this for months on end and are now being attacked and confronted by the Irish police who are clearing the way for the foreign invasion. We'll go first to clip number 6 here. This is Dundrum, Tipperary.
So, Dundrum have received our first 2 busloads from God knows where, mainly women and children, but they've done that in Roscrea and Racket Hall and all the other places. They're peaceful protests. They don't give a shit about the peaceful. They forced them in anyway against the community's wishes. And there was a couple of old men manhandled and arrested. An absolute disgrace is what this country's after turning into. And as you can see, we've got the public order unit and guards everywhere. There was more guards here than people. Another sad day in the Irish history books, unfortunately. Another sad, sad day in the Irish history books. So as I said, look, they managed to force the first 2 buses in against the community's wishes. They've tried everything peacefully, and these corrupt just don't care.
Your democracy at work, right? Our democracy at work. A town of 200 people desperately attempting to prevent the settlement of 280 foreigners on their land and being attacked and arrested by the federal police for trying to just peacefully prevent this from happening. And we've got video of the conflict taking place here. Clip number five. Again, this is Dundrum, Tipperary. 280 asylum seekers to be housed in a hotel, replacing the local population of 200 people overnight. It's a veritable army of police officers to escort the foreign invaders and to prevent the locals from having a say as to who lives in their town.
This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. So the such a thing as not following orders, man. There is, like, you know, such Ireland's finest. Well, at least you wear the numbers anyway, unlike the other boys. I'll give you that.
It's absolute traitors.
What's going on there?
The government deploying their jackbooted thugs to clear out the locals to bring in the Africans. Setting up inevitable conflicts in the future, bringing in their foreign militia, who they'll all provide jobs to, provide security jobs. The migrants will likely be armed by the government and hired as police officers to be fully empowered to abuse the Irish people under the cloak of legitimacy. Look at all these police. They are sending out an army clear out their own people to build colonies, foreign colonies on their own land. They say tensions ran high in West Tipperary this morning as Gardaí sought to escort approximately 80 asylum seekers past a blockade formed by several dozen people. Locals in the area have manned the protests outside Dundrum House Hotel every day since late May. The hotel has not been in commercial use for several years and has been chosen for the housing of refugees. One man was removed from the scene this morning and treated for minor injuries after scuffles between the protesters and Garde. The local said they would regroup and hold a meeting later to discuss the next steps for their campaign to prevent the housing of asylum seekers at the hotel. So they have been, this town of 200 people has been holding vigil and trying to defend this hotel from being used as a foreign colony for the last like 7 months to be cleared out by the police. Foreigners are forced into their backyards.
I want to tell you the story, the history of InfoWars MD, one of our biggest and most important lines of high-quality supplements, because it's a story of political attacks and not giving up. And it's an amazing product line that funds our operation. Going back about 3 years ago, during all the deplatforming of InfoWars, not just off the internet, not just with banking, some of the big supplement manufacturers that we were using, some of the best in the country, had been bought up during the pandemic, during the shutdown, and then they would notify us. We had five companies making product for us. Three of them notified us that we're no longer going to work with you because you're Alex Jones and you're InfoWars. So we made a lot of phone calls, reached out to our contacts. We found one of the biggest supplement makers in the country. I'm not going to say their names. They get harassed, but they're big listeners. And they said, listen, you know, we were supplying a lot of the raw materials to several of your manufacturers that are no longer doing business with you. And we would love to put out a private label where we just put your label on our product. And then when people order from you, it drop ships out of our warehouses. And so we added a bunch of their products to our lineup, and I didn't ever really promote them a lot because we were, you know, selling our products and a lot of the products that we developed. But so many of these products that they had put out, again, were the exact same thing that we were putting out. In fact, in some cases, like in the case of Nitric Boost, it's the exact same formula that we private labeled from them before we're even doing InfoWars MD with them. So case in point right now, our version of Nitric Boost, it's so good for your heart and body and cardiovascular system, cleans out your blood. Dr. Minkovich has talked about being one of the best formulas out there. Our version of it sold out about 3 weeks ago. Well, their version is just a white bottle, from their warehouse, and it's the exact same pill, the exact same people, does the exact same thing, and it's the exact same price. So that's what InfoWars MD is. Take Turmeric 95. Turmeric 95 is called that because it's the strongest curcuminoid concentrate, 95% that they can make. And it turns out that's the company years ago, and I wanted to put out the strongest turmeric available that was actually producing it. So, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, sold out at InfoWarsStore.com, but not their Turmeric 95, which is the same 95% curcuminoid and the same ingredients that boost it. So that's why InfoWars MD is such an amazing line. And because of the bankruptcy, it attempts to shut us down, and the bad CRO we had here before, who would not reorder product, we would not have any new product to sell to stay on air if we hadn't set this up with InfoWars MD. Now, they've got over 100 products, and as we speak, we're making labels for the rest of their line. But 17 of their products that are their best sellers, the top of their catalog, we do have at InfoWarsStore.com from InfoWars MD. So, I've told you some of the history, what's behind it. It's amazing. It's super high quality. Here's just a few of the things that are available. Nitric Boost, Good Night Sleep, Joint Relief Max is amazing, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Probiotic Formula, CBD Full Spectrum, 25 milligram gummies, CBD Full Spectrum, 10 milligram gummies, works great. Turmeric 95, Libido RX, Better Mood, Mushroom Max for mental clarity and your immune system, Superfood Greens, Ageless Vitality Collagen, and a lot more. So if you want to keep InfoWars on the air, at the same time get amazing products, please visit InfoWarsStore.com today and check out the InfoWars MD line of products. There's a bunch of others I didn't mention. We're adding more every few days. So please take action and go to InfoWarsStore.com and secure your InfoWars MD today.
Blessed is the man that had a part in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stood in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seat of the pestilent.
Alleluia. Welcome back, folks. I need to talk about what happened in the UK. I'm actually going to show you a really awesome, empowering video in just a second and compare it with another one of my favorite videos ever for what you can learn from it. I'll explain it all, but these two headlines tell you everything you need to know about the way the UK riots are being manipulated. When a Rwandan savagely kills three white kids in England, Merseyside police say, "We can confirm that a 17-year-old boy from Banks has been charged with the murders of BB King, LZ Scott, and Stan, blah, 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 you know, the names. Whereas when a white kid in England protests against the Rwandan killing white kids, the police say, quote, a 15-year-old man has been arrested on suspicion of violent disorder following a demonstration that took place on Saturday." It's a little bit different. If you're a Rwandan and you stab a dozen girls and kill three of them, you're a 17-year-old boy. If you protest that, you are a 15-year-old man. Just a nice little example. More headlines, more arrests taking place. Sutton Man 61, who chanted, "Who the F is Allah," has been jailed. Jailed for chanting. Jailed for blasphemy in the Islamic Republic of Britain. A 61-year-old man made threatening gestures at police and chanted "Who the F is Allah" during a large-scale disorder at Whitehall has been jailed for 18 months. He gesticulated and yelled. Prison for 18 months. An African migrant killed a child with a machete and got 6 months. Yelling and gesticulating, 18 months. Didn't hurt anybody. He didn't attack anybody. He made threatening gestures. It's like blasphemy. It's blasphemy law. He said, "Who the F is Allah?" And the British government sent him to jail for 18 months. He didn't say "Who the F is Allah" in
while he was attacking somebody. It's not man who yelled who the F is Allah jailed for hitting somebody with a baseball bat, jailed for attacking police. No, he's been jailed for chanting who the F is Allah. Just 18 months. And they're really just ramping up. They're just getting started. Specialist UK police teams target hate on social media. The UK authorities and the media either willingly or feeling or are either willing to or they're feeling pressure to take their cues from the government continue to assert that the root cause of the serious rioting that hit the country this month is to be found on social media. This in turn makes a convenient excuse to ramp up political surveillance, police surveillance of online content. Special police teams are now going through social sites in order to identify those said to have incited the riots, and there's a special name for them, quote, hate influencers. Hate influencers. Very simple. You categorize opposition as hate, you crack down on hate. It really is that simple. The said teams consist of what reports refer to as specialized officers who's investigating serious crimes, i.e. murder and the like, and terrorism, as well as local units whose job is normally to investigate organized crime. Other national-level teams are also mentioned taking part in scouring the internet, and what they might be doing is suggested by the goal of this exercise being gaining a clear intelligence picture, as one article put it, citing the National Police Chief Council. They said that these riots did not mobilize spontaneously. Yes, they did. No, they mobilized spontaneously as the result of the murders that took place. That was the tipping point. They were really mobilized by the decades of unpunished Islamic crime in the country. This one just sent them over the edge. What they say is that it was actually the result of dozens of so-called influencers exploiting and outpouring of grief from the tragic loss of three young girls in Southport. Referring to the knife attack that resulted in the three murderers. Talking about the, quote, hate influencers, quote, they knowingly spread misinformation, stoked the flames of hatred and division, and incited violence from the comfort of their own homes, causing chaos on other people's doorsteps. Online crimes have real-world consequences, and you will be dealt with the same way as those physically present and inflicting the violence. So they let in the criminals, they let in the murderers, and if you complain about it, you're going to go to jail. It's as simple as that. They import the people violently abusing you and your family. And if you do anything other than silently accept this, then you're a criminal. It doesn't matter if you actually go out and do anything, actually protest. Merely being aware of the crime is a crime at this point. And InfoWars has a great story by Ben Warren on this. Britain is proof globalists plan to use migrants as a mercenary arm against the West. And they literally already are. That is exactly what they're doing. Why do Western officials insist on gaslighting the public on illegal border crossings? Why do they attempt to destroy anyone that publicly opposes mass immigration from the third world? The laws on the books support the public majority position on immigration. Come here legally or don't come here at all. And what a good point. They are criminalizing advocating for the laws that are on the books. That's how insane this is. That they're calling it hate to point to the law code and say this isn't supposed to be happening. This is against the law. That is hate. You'll be thrown in jail for it. They say the goal is to import people with an incompatible or hostile ideology, and eventually the target culture will break down and be forced to accept a new system of governance, i.e. free markets and liberty to communism and slavery. If Western populations are unified in opposing the globalist ideology, then the task of deconstruction becomes impossible for them. So they simply destroy the West from within by introducing millions of people that will never assimilate or unify. And that is the point, right? And again, this you got to read this article. Britain is proof. Globalists plan to use migrants as a mercenary army against the West. But I want to play a video here that actually gave me hope, that actually
inspired me, that actually made me think that that spark of liberty still exists in Britain. This is a pub owner forcing Keir Starmer out of his establishment. A true expression, a powerful expression of what still exists of British liberty. Let's go to clip 18.
That man is not allowed in my pub. No, Lord. I'm not going to physically hurt him. That man. That's assault. I am not bothering you. I am not bothering him. That man is not allowed in my pub. Get out of my pub. Go on. Get out of my pub.
And here comes Keir Starmer, Prime Minister, humiliated and ejected by a local pub owner. God bless that man for standing up for his God-given rights. This is the heart and soul of British liberty, what became American liberty. The Constitution as an outgrowth of British common law, something laid down as early as the 1200s, 1215, with the Magna Carta, that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're the prime minister. It doesn't matter if you think or pretend to have the authority to go wherever you want and do whatever you want. You don't outrank the pub owner. You don't have a right to demand that the pub owner serve your whim. And the other side, I'll play the video to compare to this, a little compare and contrast. But that video I thought was amazing. So he kicks out Keir Starmer. Maybe soon that will be called hate. Maybe soon that man will be considered hateful for daring to oppose Keir Starmer. He's the prime minister, after all. You're not allowed to disagree with him. Maybe one day, maybe that guy's already been sent to prison. Who knows? In the UK, could very well be the case. What we're losing in the UK, what they're losing, what we're losing in America, didn't start with the American Constitution. We are losing 1,000 years of advancement and liberty with what's going on in the UK right now. I'll show you how it ends up on the other side.
I'm in a paradox, or a catch-22. If I sat here and tried to tell you all the things that have been done to InfoWars, it distracts us from the attacks the globalists are carrying out against America and the people of the world. But at the same time, if I don't tell you what's happening to us, you won't know how desperate the situation is. It's a paradox. But the enemy wants to attack us, they admit, to drag us off of our mission, exposing their operations at such a critical time. So I'm just going to say this. We're in the fight against the New World Order. We stand with you because I know my children are going to grow up in a world with your children. And if they have any future, your children have to have a future. So we're brothers and sisters in this. And I need your support. I'm humbly asking for your support. Plus, these are great products. And this could be the last run. We're very close to being shut down. If people come through and support us, we'll survive if it's God's will. But we have Vitamineral Fusion. We have this incredible 1,000 milligram organic vitamin C with rose hips and zinc. It's so amazing for your immune system and body. It's back in stock. Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, been sold out for months. Back in stock is 95% curcuminoid. This could be your last chance to get these products. So I need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and get these products, because without your support, we are going to be shut down. Plus, these are really amazing products. So I humbly thank you for all your past support. And regardless of what happens, we've fought as hard as we could. We never gave up. We never backed down. But really, this is a symbiotic relationship. We bring you hardcore information, game-changing info, and you support us, keep us on the air. So I want to thank you all for your past support. I want to encourage you now in what could be your last chance to get these three products. They're finally back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Bodies, Vitamin C, Vitamineral Fusion, now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
Mm-hmm.
the